We are joined by attorney Jeff O'Brien. He's not just an attorney. He is our attorney, our lawyer, our barrister extraordinaire from Chestnut Cambrone. And Jeff, there's so much to talk about. And I want to start off with something that I saw on Twitter. Always a great source of information. Anyway, Ben Crump is representing Jacob Blake Jr. He's the guy that was shot 7 times in the back and he's paralyzed. Anyway, he put something out about Blake and his family getting a phone call from Senator Kamala Harris, whatever Harris you want to call her, the vice president on the potential vice president on the Biden ticket. And during their conversation, he said to her, "I'm proud of you." And she replied, "I'm proud of you." Megyn Kelly, I just want to, used to be with Fox, but she sums it up, I think, pretty good. Now, first of all, I want to preface it by saying getting shot 7 times in the back, I don't think that was justified. I think the cop panicked. I don't think it was vicious like what happened here. So I think that's completely different. But Megyn Kelly says, proud of him. He's accused of breaking into a sleeping woman's house, sexually assaulting her, humiliating her, and later returning to harass her. And she's absolutely right when she says something like that. And she also went on to say, then the cops she called for help say he resisted arrest, assaulted them, and went for his knife. How about a word for his victim, Senator? And she's dead on with that. The woman that he was going after, or allegedly going after, was a victim. It's unfortunate what happened. It shouldn't have happened, but he can't be turned into a hero. And that really bothers me.
No. You know, it's one thing with the George Floyd situation, you know, that the underlying crime there was passing a $20 counterfeit bill. And obviously, you know, George Floyd died in police custody, so it's a far more severe consequence of what happened. You cannot equate Jacob Blake and George Floyd. Like you said, he had sexually assaulted his ex-girlfriend. He had already resisted arrest. He had fought with cops. They had tased him. It didn't work. And he was going to go get a weapon. And so it's really shameful, the pandering on this one. And especially from Senator Harris, who was such a vicious critic of Judge Kavanaugh during his Supreme Court confirmation hearings and full-on Me Too movement, for her now to be proud of a sexual assault suspect, it's a little bit surreal.
You know what? And she needs to be called on it by the media, but who in the media would do it, because they're all kowtowing? And you know who I want
to... The media is the communications arm of the Democrats.
Well, that's what it would appear to be. But I want to hear what Joe Biden has to say and what his teleprompter will tell him to say.
You'll definitely know that, because now he's gone full Ron Burgundy and is now reading the prompts from the teleprompter. There's clips of it. You can look at it. He's in the middle. He said something last week, and then he goes, end of quote.
Well, you know, and it happened again. It happened again after that.
Yeah, it happened twice. And then last night, yesterday he was doing a virtual town hall and it asked a question, and he asked his assistants who were there to move the teleprompter closer, which would suggest to me that he's got somebody on his campaign staff that's quickly typing an answer to questions, and he just couldn't read it.
Well, you know, okay, for the thing about end of quote, why don't they just put like a bunch of long dashes, but then he would say long dash, long dash, long dash. He would read it that way.
Yeah, I know. Or they could do like, you know, an anchorman and put a question mark at the end of a statement, see if he reads it as a question.
Oh, you could bet that he would. And we had talked off the air. The only way that he has a chance to get through a debate, they have to put an earphone in. I don't think it's legal, but they'll figure out a way to try to prompt him or give him information. But so many people are talking. I think there'll be a record amount of popcorn sold for that night, because people are just going
to
be...
Well, everybody is trying to avoid this happening. They're talking about having fact checkers at the debate, which, of course, again, with the media being in the bag for one side, how good is a fact checker?
Well, what does that mean? Are they going to jump up if they think something's wrong? So what?
They're going to call Trump a liar every time he opens his mouth. That's what they're going to do.
Well, they do that anyway.
But you know what? Look, the first debate is being moderated by Chris Wallace from Fox News. Chris Wallace can do his own fact checking. You know, he's definitely more on the liberal side, but I think he's a very fair journalist. He did a very tough interview with Donald Trump. He did call him on some of his statements, And at the end of the day, he said that, you know, he gave the president credit for sitting with him in 90 degree heat and taking that interview. And Joe Biden is ducking him, won't do an interview with him. So I think Chris Wallace is going to do just fine keeping the candidates in check in terms of their facts.
I don't agree with that, Jeff, because I don't think that he is leaning to the left. I think he's something that is rare and tough to identify in this day and age. He is a journalist. He is objective.
True. I would say he's clearly not, from other comments he's made on the network, he clearly is not a pro-Trump guy like some of the other people, personalities on Fox News, right? Here, right. He is probably as close as it comes on that station to being kind of the more of the independent, fair-minded, but he's tough on both sides. And I think he's going to, Chris Wallace is of the mentality, I think, that if Biden's not going to sit for an interview with him, then when he gets in that debate, he's going to put the screws to him.
And he should. I mean, he should do it to both of them. He shouldn't treat them both equally. Now,
right.
The whole thing, we've talked about it the last few days, and you had some thoughts on it too, this whole accusation of Trump calling veterans and dead veterans suckers and losers, or losers and suckers, which the only way I could get any credence is if the people, the anonymous sources, put their names to it. And maybe that's the next step, that they got it out, and then they will step up and said, yes, I said it. But when you, and we talked off the air, when John Bolton says it didn't happen, he is no Trump fan. That, I think, gives credence to what Trump is saying, right?
Right. And what this reminds me of, Bob, we talked about this off air, the first one I heard of it, I mean, being as incendiary as these remarks supposedly were, and then I heard anonymous sources, and I said, oh, it's Dan Rather in the Bush National Guard story. If you remember, when George W. Bush was running for re-election, it was almost, literally, it was almost 16 years to the day. The Trump story, the Atlantic story came out on the 4th of September. The Bush story came out on the 8th of September, where they had claimed that he had been, gotten out of National Guard duty, and they had all these documents, and turns out the documents were fake. And it's interesting that there's, it was a local blog, a group of bloggers, the Powerline blog, that exposed the Dan Rather fraud. And they had a post over the weekend that said there's shades of the 60 Minutes story in this Atlantic piece. So they're now even calling BS on it, saying, hey, this is sounding really similar. And one thing, too, the Atlantic, where this was published, is a very left-leaning publication, and it's owned by a Joe Biden mega donor.
Well, that's it's owned by Steve Jobs' wife, or his foundation she started. So,
well, it's the thing is, there was good Jobs news. You had Pelosi and the salon-ish incident, and you have Biden reading off the teleprompter. They had to do something, and you had the Serbia Kosovo deal. So they had to do something to get all the good news off the front page.
But sadly, on many stations and many front pages, those stories didn't appear. So that's the unfortunate part about it. So, well, Jeff, there's going to be plenty to talk about in the weeks and few months ahead, heading up to the election. Greatly appreciate it, Jeff O'Brien, Chestnut Cambrone. Jeff, give people a way to reach out to you. And by the way, you do have about 60 craft breweries and distilleries that you represent. So if you have one or want to get one going, and are people getting them going in this with the coronavirus happening, or are they just shutting
breweries
down?
Breweries have slowed down, but definitely there's some distilleries open. Just went to an opening for a new client in Stillwater about a month ago. So beautiful outside cocktail room on this right along St. Croix. But yeah, any kind of business issue, I'm happy to talk with somebody. It's the best way to get me. Email is jobrien@ccclawmn.com, or the phone number is 612-336-1298.
Jeff, thanks so much. Take a quick break. The BS Show will be right back.